Well, good morning.
Good morning.
It is good to be here today, is it not?
Amen.
Isn't today a beautiful day?
Amen.
Today is definitely a beautiful day, and it's to be here with fellow worshipers, fellow children of God, fellow members of the family of God, fellow members of the kingdom. It is always wonderful to be here together, is it not? Well, I got a little story to tell you real fast. Real fast. Maybe not that fast. We went out last night and went bowling. Now, I have learned back a few years ago that I don't bowl anymore because my knees won't handle it. They won't hold up, you know, and so I quit bowling back a few years ago. But I got to go and watch, and we had my wife was there, my sister was there, my son and his wife, and my two-year-old granddaughter.
Amen.
Was there. And I want you to know that my two-year-old granddaughter bowled a 94. Of course, she had the bumpers on the side and the little roll-down thing, but she bowled a 94, so I'm signing her up today for the PBF, the pole bowling. Because anybody who's 2 years old and can bowl a 94 ought to be signed up, don't you think? Especially since she beat her mother, and I thought that was hilarious. Hey? Grandchildren are absolutely wonderful. And she would bowl, and then she'd lay down on the lane there with her hands like this, watching the ball go and hit the Hey, when I was bowling in the league, if I thought that had worked, I'd have done that too. Well, she did. She did. Wonderful to be here. It's wonderful to be a part of this congregation. Amen. It's wonderful to be here to worship God, is it not?
Amen.
Take part in your worship. We talked about that just a little while ago, about how if you go to a ball game, you just sit up there, you're a spectator. But we're not a spectator here.
Amen.
All of us are to take part in worship, in our song service, in our prayers, in our communion service. Every aspect of it, we take part, do we not?
Amen.
If you don't, you're missing out. If we don't, you're missing out while we're here. You should be here for the purpose to worship God. Always, 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 always. And I'm so glad that you are here with us today. Thank you for the visitors being here today. I hope that this lesson that I give you today will be uplifting to you and will help you along the way. I told you before that oftentimes the Holy Spirit helps me in determining exactly what I should preach on. Well, Monday I really didn't know what I was going to preach on Sunday, on today. And I was opening up my Bible and I was reading a few scriptures and I ran across this scripture right there in 1 Peter. And it talks about, you shall be whole. And I go, well, you know, someday I might do a little sermon on that. And so what I did was that I often will listen to other preachers preach. And I turned it over to this one preacher that I like to listen to. And I was listening to him preach. And guess what he was preaching on? So I said, well, it doesn't take me very long to get my head on straight. You know, the Holy Spirit hits me about 3 or 4 times in the head and tells me, hey, preach on that. And so here we are. We're going to preach on how we shall be holy. We shall be holy. Look at these verses in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 15 through 16. It says this, but like the Holy One who called you. Have you been called?
Yes.
You better believe you have. There's not one person in this world who has not been called.
Amen.
There's a lot of people that won't answer. And there's a lot of people that put it on hold or voicemail. But I want you to know, all of us have been called. I tell this story a lot about when I became a full-time preacher for the first time. And y'all have heard this. But I hear this a lot. You know, they ask me, well, when did you get called to be a preacher? I said, well, Jim Emerson gave me a call. He's one of the elders over at Valley View. He said, hey, we want you to come and be our preacher. And they said, no, that's not what I mean. When did God call me? And I said, well, I think God has called me a long time ago. Because he wants us to teach the word. He wants us to be an example to all those people out in the world because they don't have an example. And a lot of times the only example that they ever get, the only example that they ever see is you. The only Bible they ever read is you. Because they see how you act, they see how you react, and they see what kind of person you are, and they're drawn to God because of it. Let your light so shine. Isn't that how that goes? Because that's what they see. And they're drawn to God because of it. There are many people that are here today for the first time because someone invited them to come. Someone did. One of y'all. It wasn't me. It was one of y'all invited them to come. And they're here today because of it. Well, guess what? You are letting your light shine. There are many ways, as Joe brought up, that we can give to God. That's one of them. Letting your light shine. Folks, you have been called. You have been called from the time of your conception that you should be a child of God. But like I said, a lot of people won't answer. A lot of people will hang up. A lot of people will let it go to voicemail. But folks, you need to pick up the phone. You need to answer the call. Notice what it says. Be holy yourselves, also in your behavior, because it is written, you shall be holy. For I am holy. Now I want to talk about that for just a little while. Because I've had this happen to me multiple times and I've had people come to me multiple times and say these words. They say, I've done so many bad things in my past, I don't think God could ever forgive me. Have you ever thought that in your life, that you were unforgivable? Because God is holy and you are not? Have you ever considered that? That we are not holy. We ourselves cannot be holy. Because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 3:23. Thank you for remembering that. Realize that we ourselves, and Jesus even calls us here in Matthew 7:11, he even calls us that we being evil. And what that means is that we have sin within us. The Old Testament, the old law, could not take away sin. It had to be a perfect sacrifice. And the Hebrew writer brings it up incredibly well. If you've never read the book of Hebrews, read it today. He explains it so well. We cannot save ourselves. There is no way, because we ourselves are not holy. And being not holy, realize this, we cannot have fellowship with God. If we are unholy, we cannot have fellowship with God. If we walk in darkness, and 1 John talks about it quite a bit, if we walk in darkness, if we live in sin, then guess what? We cannot have fellowship with God. Why? Because God cannot be with unholy. There is no darkness in God at all. There is only light. And so therefore, we cannot be unholy and be with God. Notice this also. your prayers if you are unholy, God will not hear. You ever heard the term sinner's prayer? Doesn't exist. If I offended somebody by that, so be it. Sinner's prayer does not exist. I've asked multiple people, show me in the Bible where it's sinner's prayer, and they cannot. Why? Because it's not there. God doesn't hear those who are sinners. But realize this, those who seek diligently God will do what? Find Him. If you seek, you shall find. So if you're seeking God, you will find. Remember Cornelius. He prayed for God to show him the way. What happened? Peter did. Peter showed him the way. Realize that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except by Him. So realize this, that if we, being unholy, try to communicate with God, it doesn't work. Because God cannot be with that. But if you are holy, that's when the communication goes. Remember, the prayer of a righteous man does what? See, I love to be able to say that, and I love to hear your response, because that's exactly true. A righteous person avails much. Now realize this, I'm not talking about being righteous on your own, am I? Because we can't be. So look at this next one. This one bothers me more than anything. Because if you are not holy, if you refuse to answer the call that God has given you, then God remembers every sin that you've ever committed. How does that make you feel? There are sins in your life that I know that nobody knows about except you. And you'd like to keep it that way. There are sins in your life that maybe only a few people know about. You'd like to keep it that way too. Why is it when God comes back or when Christ comes back that people will run into caves and ask the rocks and stones to fall upon them and cover them up? Because they fear the wrath of God. They know that God remembers what they have done. And therefore they know that the wrath of God is coming down upon them, and they would much rather be covered up by stones than to face His wrath. To be unholy, to not answer the call that God gives you, means that God remembers every sin that you ever committed. And then also look at this. Those who are unholy will be cast out. You cannot be with God if you are holy. Unholy, excuse me. Let me get that right. You cannot be with God if your life is full of sin. Doesn't happen. Because God cannot be with sin. He is perfect in every way. And so therefore, heaven will have no unholy person in it. Now that does two things for me. That puts fear, but it also puts great joy. No unholy thing will be in heaven. It will all be perfect. You will be cast out. But John chapter 3. And I love this because this terminology has been used multiple times by multiple individuals, by multiple evangelists improperly. But it means this. You must be born again. John chapter 3 verse 3 says that unless you are born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. Then if you read on down through, and this is one of my favorite passages, so I like to quote it a lot. If you read on down through in verse 4, Nicodemus, who Jesus just told that to, Nicodemus says, how can I be born again? Can I enter the second time into my mother's womb and be born? And Jesus says to him, no, you don't understand what I'm talking about. He says, unless you have been born of the water and of the Spirit, you shall not enter into the kingdom of God. Born of the water and of the Spirit, to be born again, a new creature, not the same person you were before, but a new creature. For you have been buried in the likeness of Jesus' death, therefore we are raised in the likeness of His resurrection. Romans 6:4. Realize, unless you are born again, you shall not. And I've had people come up to me and say, well, you're a born again Christian, aren't you? And I say, yes, I am. Do you understand what that means? Because most people really don't understand what that means. That means being buried in the likeness of His death and raised to walk in the newness of life. Also in Romans 6. Read that one again while you're reading Hebrews as well today. Okay? To be born again, 1 Peter 1:23 tells us this, that you are not the seed which is perishable, but you are imperishable because you have been born again. That is through the living and enduring Word of God. You are not perishable, but rather imperishable. I heard a person the other day talking about the rapture. Now, I'll get into that in our study of Revelation, and you'll understand something there when I talk about that. But he was talking about that, and he said, now, when the rapture comes, your body, your physical body will raise. I go, no, that's not going to happen. And please don't let it happen. I was helping my son this last week, Thursday night, wasn't it? I was helping my son put together this bed, this big two-story bed, over at his house for his daughter. And twice it happened. I got on the floor. Could not get up. I looked at my son and said, and of course, y'all who have seen my son know that he's not a little guy. He's a big guy. I look over at him and I said, son, you're going to have to help me. He said, why, Dad? And he said, because I can't get up. I need one of those life alert things. But I've learned quite a while back, if I didn't have a chair or something to grab hold of and push myself up, I ain't doing that. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. So please don't bring this body back. I want the body that's imperishable. I want the body that's perfect. I want what's going to be changed in a wink of an eye. We are going to be changed. That's what I want. Realize that as we are born again, he's not talking about this body. Just like Jesus told Nicodemus in John chapter 3, verse 5, he told Nicodemus, he says, no, you don't understand. It's being born of the water and of the Spirit. He's not talking about a physical birth. He's talking about spiritual birth. We are born again in the Spirit. And therefore, if we are born again in the Spirit, we are raised as a new creature. As I quoted this verse just a minute ago, we've been buried with Him through baptism, and then we are raised to walk in the newness of life. Remember I told you just a minute ago as I started out telling you very plainly that we are not righteous people. All have sinned and come short. Jesus even called us evil because sin is in our bodies. This body, thank the Lord, is not going to be what I'm going to be in for eternity. When I am buried in the likeness of Jesus' death and raised in the likeness of His resurrection, I am a new creature. A new being. Not the same. I'm a new person. And therefore, God remembers our sins no more. And I love that. That's an amen word. Did y'all hear that? Amen. Say amen. Because that's one right there in which I want you to realize God will remember nothing that you have done in your past. Because all God will see is the blood of Jesus Christ in you, which cleanses you of all sin. Yes. Thank the Lord. I am not bound by my sins. I am not blemished by the evil which lives in this body. But rather, through the Holy Spirit, I am perfect in the sight of God. Because He will remember my sins no more. He will only see the blood of Jesus Christ. And when the books are opened, and the book of life is opened, the only thing He will see in that book of life is your name. And you will hear, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." Praise God. You've been washed. You've been sanctified. You've been justified by the blood of the Lamb. Realize it's not you. You can't do it, can we? Only through Jesus Christ can we receive the forgiveness? Can we receive the cleansing? Can we receive the removal of all of our sins? Only through the blood of Jesus Christ. Now, I want you to remember the eunuch. Y'all know who I'm talking about. The eunuch from Ethiopia, who was traveling to Jerusalem for the purpose to worship. This eunuch was what we call a proselyte. He had been taught the Jewish law. He had been taught the Jewish tradition. And he was on the way to Jerusalem in order so that he might worship God. We remember that individual. He was riding in his chariot, and remember the other individual who was a deacon in the church, by the way, in Jerusalem, by the name of Philip. The Bible teaches us that the Holy Spirit guided Philip to join himself with this person. Why? Because again, just like what I was talking about, this eunuch was diligently seeking God. So the Holy Spirit guided Philip to go join himself with that eunuch. And so he comes up to the eunuch and he notices that the eunuch is reading from the book of Isaiah. And Philip looks at him and says, "Do you understand what you read?" And the eunuch says, "How can I except someone guide me?" And it says from that point that the eunuch joined himself with Philip, or Philip joined himself with the eunuch. And as they went on their way, they were reading from the book of Isaiah, Isaiah 53. And the eunuch asked him, says, "Is the prophet here talking about himself or someone else?" And it says from that point, what happened was that Philip began to teach him about Jesus Christ. And as they went on their way, they came to some water. And the eunuch says, "Look, here's water. What hinders me from being baptized?" And Philip says, "If you believe, you may." And the eunuch said, "I believe with all my heart that Jesus is the Son of God." And they commanded the chariot to stop, and both he and the eunuch, Philip and the eunuch, went down into the water. And Philip baptized him. And when they came up out of the water, it says, the eunuch saw Philip no more. But the eunuch went on his way. What's the word?
Rejoicing.
Why was he rejoicing? He was rejoicing because his sins were forgiven. "My sins, which were many, are now gone." It doesn't matter what you've done in your past. It doesn't matter at all. Why? Because the sins that were many are now gone. They are washed away. I've been justified. I've been sanctified. I've been cleansed by the blood of the Lamb. And that's why the eunuch went on his way rejoicing. I want you to think for just a few minutes. Some of you are going to have to go way back in your memory. But I want you to think about how you felt when you came up out of that water. Can y'all remember it? Like I said, some of you are going to have to go back a little further. Some of you ain't. Talking Arkansas back there. Some of you aren't going to have to go back very far at all. But realize how you felt when you came up out of that water. When I was in Guyana, there was this really, I'm not going to say that. There was this older person, an older lady. She was easily in her mid-90s. When she went down in that water, she came up out of that water and she clapped her hands and she said, "Glory, hallelujah." How wonderful it was. I've got a picture of her somewhere. How wonderful it was. "For her sins, which were many, are now cleansed." And realize what we read in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 16. "We shall be holy, not because of what we have done, for our sins are many, but we shall be holy because Christ is holy." We shall be holy because God is holy. And because Christ is holy, because God is holy, our sins are washed away, and that makes us holy, and that makes us a home in heaven with Him. I cannot preach enough about baptism. I cannot. Because I know there are people here in this congregation who have not been baptized. I know there are people out in the world who have not been baptized. And my preaching on these topics will allow you to take this out into the world and preach it to other people. They cannot be with God when they are not holy. But our holiness comes from the cleansing blood of Jesus Christ. To be buried in His likeness and raised to walk in a new life. A life that is holy. A life that is clean. A life where we will always have fellowship with God. Do you not want that life? Do you not need that life? There's a better place than here. Seek that life. If you have a need this morning, we ask you to come while together we stand and sing.